Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Mac Attack Show. I'm your host, Mac, and I'm delighted and excited about tonight's interview. This is a telephone interview to all of our listeners, so we thank you for your patience and your consideration. I'm excited because this is the Uniquely Dope Series Homecoming Edition. We're having conversations with people from schools all across the country, from Bethune-Cookman and FAMU, Penn State, and some places in between. So at this time, let's get right to it. I want to ask you, what school did you attend?
What school? I went to an HBC FAMU, so they normally say FAMU. FAMU, I'm going to leave all that blank you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Home of the Rattlers. Hey,
Home of the Rattlers. Florida A&M Agriculture and Mechanics.
All right. I hear the pride in your voice, man. Now, what made this school so unique? What made the school so dope? What made the experience at this HBCU so amazing?
For me, I would say, give me 2 seconds to turn this ringer off. For me, I would say, a higher education is great, but the thing about FAMU is when I got to the highest hill, the highest of the 7 hills in Tallahassee, Florida, it completely changed my life. To see people that look like me doing things outside of the norm where I came from, and I came from a rough part of South Florida here in Miami, and what we saw was black people that looked like me doing service jobs, right? There was a bubble that if you were this skin color, this is the type of work that you do. And when I went to Florida A&M, it opened my eyes to a whole new world, not just education-wise, but what it meant for me to be a young black male. So above all, my experience at Florida A&M has given me the pride to stand up and be confident in who I am, not just because of me. I learned on what shoulders I stood on when I went to Florida A&M.
Wow, that's awesome. Shout out to all HBCUs and the experience and the exposure that they give to people like yourself. You also are a Haitian American. And how important was it for you to go to a school where you saw people like yourself, and you may have met other Haitian Americans or other students from the Caribbean, yet being originally from Haiti, but also growing up in Miami, you were away from home, but how much did you feel at home in this environment, and how did it help you mature and help you grow?
Yeah, definitely. Florida is, especially HBCU, you see a migration of people from all over the state, not just the state, from around the country coming to Florida A&M. So there was a diverse group of what we call black people, right? Black people was normally, Black History Month, we get a few names, the regular few names. Martin Luther King, Harriet Tubman, the ones that's in our two-page books. But when I went to Florida A&M, Black history was global, right? When it was Black history, it was constant Black history, learning about the accomplishments of Black people in the world. So there was no disconnect coming from a Haitian background. It actually helped me to foster more than just my Haitianness and this Haitian background, but what does it mean to be black globally?
Cool, man. What made you want to go to Florida A&M, if you don't mind me asking?
So I've been in a band for most of my life, right? I play saxophone, I play sousaphone, and in high school, if you're from Florida and you're a marching band fanatic, Of course, those top schools in Florida, HBCU is always the marching 100, right? For since the ninth grade, I've been looking at videos of the marching 100. My dream was to march for the 100. It was what got me to Tallahassee, right? All the obstacles in the way, but my determination to march in the 100 got me to Florida A&M University.
Oh, wow. Okay. Now, I'm going to be interviewing somebody from Bethune-Cookman. What would you say? Is there a rivalry there? would you consider them an elite band as well?
Oh, of course. You know, Bethune-Cookman has come a long way, right? A long way. And I think the essence of black marching bands, right, is something, we may go to different schools, but the swag, the movement, the rhythm, all of that, you know, comes from a deep rootness of blackness. So yeah, Bethune-Cookman is there, but they're not on the left. Florida, and even after all of the turmoil, right, of Florida A&M, our name alone, the Marching 100, that's marched for countless presidents, the most presidents ever.
You mentioned the band, the essence, the swag, the culture, and that is a great segue to my next question. One of the unique things about the HBCU experience is the marching bands, especially at halftime and the parades and things of that nature. But one of the places they really, really show out is homecoming. So let's talk about homecoming. What's it like in Tallahassee when FAMU has homecoming? Is it a whole week event? Is it a special weekend? Tell me about the concerts, the game, the parties. Like, what makes FAMU's homecoming so special? And I asked this question, if you look at any poll, any survey, FAMU is in the top five. So tell me about FAMU's homecoming and what makes it so special.
Homecoming. Wow. It's a whole week event. I'm talking about you can go from classy barroom gala events where you dabber deer looking good to, you know, the whole other aspect of just partying and get completely crazy and enjoying the moment of homecoming. Homecoming has always been people from all over the country come to Florida A&M for the homecoming. I'm talking about from celebrities that perform to stand-up comedians. It is a packed week. When I say Bragg Stadium, the streets around Tallahassee, it is nothing but pandemonium and controlled chaos is what I would refer to homecoming. Controlled chaos with all of the fraternities and the sororities coming together and competing and having a good time. It is just from a level from my first homecoming was probably I didn't sleep for a good 3 days as a freshman.
Wow.
Going to homecoming, I didn't sleep for a whole 3 days straight. It's just another level. Like right now, I couldn't go as hard as I would when I was in undergrad. But yeah, it is experience on all different levels too, from a student level to alumni that comes back to homecoming. There are events that will cater to all preferences.
Wow, awesome. So you mentioned that you're no longer undergrad and you're an alumni. Is homecoming a weekend that you circle on your calendar and you look forward to coming back if you still?
Oh yeah, from depending on my work schedule and what it's look like, it's not something that's an every year thing, but it is definitely circled on a calendar. Probably in January, you find out what the dates are. It's circled on the calendar when that football schedule come in. It is an event, right? If you're going to go, it's an event that you plan for, that you make sure that you got your ducks in a row. Because if you're planning on doing anything significant, it's a planning in the head will give you the maximum effort to enjoy the homecoming weekend.
Okay, so you talk about planning ahead. So educate me on some homecoming rules. When you say planning ahead, so you plan which events you go to. Do you buy new outfits? Do you go to the game? Do you make sure that you go on Eventbrite and reserve tickets for certain things? Do you consistently go to the same places? And tell me some unique things about FAMU's homecoming. Like, where is the most fun to be had?
Wow. That, in my opinion, the most fun to be had is that football game when the 100 come out at halftime. The energy of the stadium, the it's like a mini earthquake to hear the band, to hear especially the sousaphones blow the stadium away. That experience there is something else. If you're gonna go on a whim and not plan anything, you may not hit the best spots, right? The obvious ones, okay. If you can get in the game, you don't even have to get in the game. If you can get in a tailgate area, you're in. If you can get to the Moon, which is one of the nightclubs in Tallahassee, on a special occasion where it's the most happening, you're in, right? For me, it's all about planning. I want to know where I'm going to go. I want to get my tickets and event ahead of time. Now, when I was younger, it was no such thing as planning. We're just going to drive around, and that was part of the highlight, right? Being able to drive around and just see the food. Oh my goodness, I didn't even hit the food. It's a street long all over, vendors from all over serving some of the best foods that you know that we like to eat. It is just on a whole nother level. Of course you gotta get new outfits. Of course you gotta get to a place where you look clean and smell good and all of that. Cause when I was younger, the highlight of homecoming was trying to get a beautiful woman, right? You can get rejected 100 times, but there's almost 500 more to go. Right? So it's like, as a freshman, as a junior, as a sophomore, it's like these are beautiful women, and especially the alumni coming back with the student body, you know, the ratio is highly favored more women than men.
Okay, all right. Let me ask you this question. That leads to a few other questions. Who has more fun at homecoming, men or women?
Wow. Of course, I would say women. And when you say fun, it's like these ladies get in almost everywhere for free. Like,
wow.
If you got, you know, you got your outfit, you got your hair laid, you know how the ladies get. You know, they are definitely, I would say, the ladies have more fun. Just the essence of, you know, when women get together and it's more than just homecoming, right? It's a gathering of friends. We don't do that until we get older, right? Until we get older, we're like, okay, let's gather, let's make this an event. If you're not already connected with a fraternity or a group or have a group of friends while you're there, yeah, I think the ladies definitely take that cake.
Okay.
They have more. They could be more picky. You know? They
okay.
don't have to. They don't have to like go to this certain place. Hey, if this is the spot that's happening, you know, you only got 24 hours in a day with all that's happening. You pick and choose.
Wow. Very, very insightful. I never thought about that aspect. You mentioned another demographic that I wanted to ask you about. and that is Greek life. Would you say Greeks have more fun than individuals, or do you say it doesn't matter? Does being Greek make a difference at homecoming?
Definitely. I haven't pledged to any fraternities myself, but looking inside from the outside, again, it's kind of like that same mindset, right? When, you know, when women travel, they travel in a group of friends. They don't really need a guy, you know, to make it exciting. Same thing with the fraternities and sororities. Like when you have a group of brothers, however that looks like, you know, but that bond of brotherhood, even if you don't know the other person, just that bond of brotherhood, I think, definitely makes homecoming that much more fun.
Cool. I could see that. Now, going back to being alumni, coming back, many of us have jobs, many of us have spouses and kids and colleagues, and there's a new or fresh dynamic the last 20 years that has to be considered, at least to me, I feel it has to be considered, and that's social media. As an alumni, do you worry about people posting you on social media at homecoming? Like, are you camera shy about people taking certain pics, worried about it gets back to the wrong person? How does social media affect your homecoming experience?
Well, at this time right now, you know, like I said in the beginning, homecoming caters to a variety of different levels of maturity, different levels of access. I think if you're in a place where, you know, you have a family, you have your alumni, you're well situated in what you do, you know yourself well enough, I think there's a spot for that type of homecoming, because there are, like I said before, there are all aspects that cater to the wide range. So right now, I'm not worried about any social media, any pictures. Maybe when I was a little younger, you know, that would not be the same sentiment. But right now, no. I'm not worried about my hand getting caught in the cookie jar.
Oh, right. I got you. I understand. Cool. So, you've been great. I appreciate it. Just a few more questions. One of the questions I wanted to ask you is, as an alumni, if homecoming was canceled, and let's say the money that the university typically spent on homecoming was spent for education, would alumni still come back?
No, I think it's a two-sided. It's not an or, but it's an and, right?
Okay.
So if the money that's being used for homecoming, that is a boost of morale. That is what gathers the whole Rattler family together, right? That boost of morale really benefits the school for alumni to even give more, right? Give to what we feel like we're connected to. To take homecoming away and say, hey, we can use this funds for this, is to say, hey, the morale in bringing back the Rattler family is what we're spending money to make more money, to receive more by those giving. So I definitely think canceling homecoming would not be advantageous for anyone on any level, from students all the way to alumni and faculty.
Got you. Now, would you say at FAMU, homecoming is the biggest weekend on campus? If not, what is?
Wow, it's one of the biggest weekends on campus. Yeah, I would say the biggest weekend on campus. The mere fact of everybody outside coming to Tallahassee, right?
Mm-hmm.
The mere fact of alumni. There are a lot of events that goes on, but the mere fact that not just alumni, but those that just know, hey, the Rattlers about to have homecoming, could never... don't know anything about FAMU, But if you know of someone that went to FAMU, if you heard any stories, if you're in the state of Florida or outside or Georgia, in those tri-state areas, going to Tallahassee for homecoming is definitely the biggest event, in my opinion.
Cool. All right, man. It's been a joy, man. It's been a pleasure learning about FAMU and the culture and homecoming. I want to ask you, do you have any funny homecoming stories or any funny college stories in general that you can share with us that would make you laugh?
The best one I have is that 3 days of no sleep. three days of no sleep of going from one place to another. You know, I might have dozed off a couple of times in a car or outside somewhere. But yeah, that's any other stories would incriminate me.
Okay. Yeah, we don't want anybody to be incriminated.
I'm just kidding. But yeah, that's probably the highlight right there. I will never forget that year.
Gotcha. Any final words to Rattler Nation or anybody going back to homecoming? Any words of encouragement or anything you want to say to the people?
The biggest word of encouragement is probably for the freshmen, and this is the biggest lesson that I learned. There is FAMU is just, you know, there's so much happening. There's a place called the Set where everybody hangs out. And my freshman year, I almost failed out just because I'm hanging on the Set and not going to class. Mm-hmm. Right? Don't let distractions take over. Right. Know why you're there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the biggest advice I got.
Cool,
man. First-timers at the Hill.
Cool, man. Well, I appreciate you, man. Thanks for dropping in on us and telling us about the Hill in Tallahassee. We appreciate you, man. Many blessings to you and your family and all that you do. Thanks for being on the Mac Attack Show. God bless.
Thank you for allowing me to be on the show. Anytime, my brother.
Next up, we have a friend of mine from UVA and a friend from North Carolina A&T giving us some insight on what to do and what not to do, the importance of homecoming, as well as comparing homecoming at an HBCU to Black Alumni Weekend at some PWIs. Enjoy.
I want to introduce you all to Rashad and Diamond. Rashad, Diamond, say what's up.
Hello, people.
Hey, everybody.
And welcome. Thank you all for being our guest on tonight's episode. I want to get right into it. Rashad, tell us about which prestigious college you attended and tell us what made that school so special to you.
Well, hello, everybody. It's Rashad, and I attended the University of Virginia. According to the rankings and a lot of other things, they're prestigious, but in other ways, they still have some work to do. You said what made me want to go to the school, right?
That, and what do you think made the school so unique, or what makes the school so great?
I think one of the things that makes it unique is that it was founded by, you know, one of the country's presidents. So it was founded by Thomas Jefferson. And it was basically the first public land grant institution that did not have a religious denomination. So Thomas Jefferson was, he was adamant about, you know, building a college or a university that wasn't tied to some type of religious institution, like the predecessors of like William and Mary, Harvard, Yale, Princeton, and the, you know, the Ivy League. So according to the rankings, and depending on who you talk to, they would say that the University of Virginia is the public Ivy. Some will say it's the public Ivy of the South, because you have UCLA on the other side as a public Ivy, and then some people consider College of William and Mary a public Ivy. So that's what makes it unique.
Cool. And also we have tonight Sister Diamond. Diamond, tell us about what prestigious college you attended and what made it so dope, what made it so unique. Talk to us about your school.
Yeah, love at first sight. That's pretty much self-explanatory. But to this day, one thing I can say about, you know, the uniqueness and what makes it so dope is the pride. You know, everybody thinks pride, but it's a real thing. It's a literal thing. I can, as of now, where I teach at, I wear my ANC stuff, and I have a grandparent of one of my students. I mean, she's a, and she makes sure that I'm good. She checks on me. So now she's like an aunt figure. So I basically came into a family of thousands of people who make sure that I'm good at all times. But they're going to make sure that I'm taken care of and things like that. That is what makes being an alumna so dope for me.
The culture plays a big factor in college, in life in general. But just based on your story, that's a reminder and a great segue for us to talk about culture and certain cultural norms. PWI, I also went to a PWI. You went to a PWI, which for those that are unfamiliar, that stands for predominantly white institutions. And Sister Diamond, she went to a great HBCU. I'm fond of it. My uncle was a professor there. And when you look up homecomings on any survey, any poll, this one is top five. In fact, they proclaim themselves to be the greatest homecoming on earth. So Diamond, I want you to tell me about GHO. What makes A&T's homecoming the greatest on earth?
You know, the title can pretty much speak for itself. It's a huge family reunion. It's literally 7 days of nonstop celebration. Don't get me wrong, you know, there's studying and there's things going on, but 7 days, an entire week of nonstop celebration. And literally the pride is so amazing when you go down there. The parties are great. You know, everybody wants to know about the parties. The parties are amazing, of course. But, like, GHO, it really speaks for itself. If anyone has not experienced GHO, put that on your bucket list. And put a star, whatever, asterisk, whatever you want to call it, bold, italicized, underlined.
Yes. I would say no, that homecoming was not the end-all, be-all for us, especially the Black community at a predominantly white institution. It didn't compare, and it probably will never compare to a historically Black college or university, definitely not A&T. So, we in the Black community did not really look forward to homecoming. It was almost kind of just like another football game for us.
So I have a question about homecoming etiquette, Rashad and Diamond. Is it okay for a person who sees someone they always liked or an old flame to shoot their shot at homecoming?
Oof. Dev, I'll let you go first.
That's a really good question. Shooting your shot at that GHO. It's a little risky. Rashawn, I'm gonna let you take this one.
I would say, like I said, because a lot of people were like single and not really claiming anybody, as far as shooting a shot, I would say you're more likely to get lucky at homecoming, especially if it's a somebody you were crushing on and, you know, or whatever, because of the flow of alcohol and just the whole merriment spirit or whatnot. You were more likely to hook up with somebody. Now, as far as shooting your shot and becoming booed up, that's a different story. But if you were just looking to hook up or whatever, there was a strong possibility for that weekend.
All right. I got one more question in that area or in that topic. Boyfriends or girlfriends, can you take them to homecoming? Or does somebody have to be a spouse back for homecoming or Black Alumni Weekend?
Black Alumni Weekend is more like family oriented, so I would say that one is like the more mature party. You do have a lot of former Wahoos and Cavaliers that end up marrying each other or whatever, so they come back and they show their Black alumni pride, and they show off to the community that such and such end up getting married. Now, during undergrad years, they might have been talking, or there was hint that they would eventually become an item, but like I said, a lot of people weren't claiming people at least the first 3 years. Maybe towards the last year, the fourth year, they would. But yeah, you can, if you're coming back to Black Alumni Weekend, it's safe to come back with your spouse, or if you're dating and you got a girlfriend or a fiance or boyfriend or whatever, yeah, it's safe, because it's kind of accepted. It's more like a family reunion in the sense. It's not like a hookup reunion, even though that does happen.
Okay, Diamond, any insight, any thoughts? I think we lost Diamond, or we'll come back to Diamond.
Okay.
Rashad, let me ask you a question. Does it make a difference on these weekends?
Oh, yes. I call it the pecking order or the food chain. If you are an athlete or Greek, you get a plus. You get a brownie points and cool points all over. Especially Greek, because a lot of times the undergrads are the ones that are throwing the parties or whatever. So if you're Greek, people are like, oh, man, it's good to see you again. You know, can you still hop? Can you still stroll? What are you doing? Because it's that expectation that, you know, if you're Greek, you're going to do something spectacular. And then for those that were not Greek in undergrad, but then they come back to a Black Alumni Weekend and they're now Greek, everybody's like, oh, man, you crossed grad chapter. And, you know, it's a lot of celebration and congratulations, because, you know, you kind of get accepted into this unique echelon.
Cool. So we're talking about alumni and alumni weekend. I want to ask a question. If there was no Black Alumni Weekend, no homecoming, do you think alumni would come back and physically support the school as well as financially support the school?
I would say, oh, the Diamond's back. Okay.
Sorry, yeah, that's Sprint, remember. But besides, you can
No, ladies first.
I didn't mean to cut you off. Okay, thank you. Honestly, at A&T, I believe that they would give back. I can positively say, you know, G-Hub, we would still have, you know, proud alumni coming down to visit and, you know, making donations and things like that. So I can say yes.
Good. And I concur with Diamond. UVA, they fundraise almost monthly. So Black Alumni Weekend and Homecomings is really not their biggest fundraising weekends. They actually have a designated weekend called Reunion Weekends, where they take different classes. And so I think they do either odd numbers or every 10 years. And so they go back and just grab everybody that's, you know, graduated like in 2019. They go grab 2009, and they just keep going like that. So the UVA, they fundraise all year round, and because of the prestige, because you know, you got that almost that elitism mentality, people are giving back. So especially the ones that graduated and are doing successful in their careers, because they have the money to the discretional money to just give away or whatnot, they tend to give back heavily to the university. And then it's another thing, because UVA's mentality is, how can I be the best of the cream of the crop? And so it's almost another status quo, a status for them to give back. So it's like, okay, yeah, I'm an alumni donor. Well, how much are you giving back? Oh, I gave back hundreds. Well, you know what? Now I'm up the ante. I'm gonna give back 1,000. And then, you know what? I'm gonna give back a million. And then I'm gonna donate. So it's always that kind of one in up, just because of the pride in the school.
Awesome, awesome. Cool. Just a few more questions, not that many. So today we have a new component I wanted to ask y'all about. What role does social media play in homecoming and Black Alumni Weekend, from informing you of events as well as not wanting to take pictures? Because now many of us have careers, we may have significant others, and so you don't want the wrong picture to get out there. So what role does social media play in your homecoming and Black Alumni Weekend?
Well, as you said, you know, some pictures, as professionals, you know, we all have careers, things of that nature. No face, no case. Nope. That is a huge factor. But social media is also, you know, it helps out, because if a party's canceled, you're going to get that update. You don't want to drive all the way to the venue, pay $10 for parking, and no party. As well as like Eventbrite tickets, you get them right then and there. They're easy. Everyone keeps their phone on them anyway. So social media, like I said, it will help and it can hurt. So especially, you know, when people are drinking things around you, that might hurt. If you send a risky message, you know, that's most definitely gonna hurt. But yeah, it's, you know, it has pros and cons. So,
like everything. Yeah. Cool. So, one last question. If you have any words you want to say to anybody coming up for homecoming, I know G-Ho is coming up soon. We got a few other homecomings. Anything you want to say about the band, the football games, or just any advice you want to give to anybody for their upcoming homecomings?
For G-Ho, I just need for everybody to stay safe, to make sure you pray over everything, all of your friends. Do not do anything risky, because it does happen. I promise you it happens. So just go create a plan and enjoy yourself.
And if you don't have a plan, is there a plan B?
If you don't have your... you will be either in the hotel room, your friend's apartment, or back at the Airbnb. Plan B, I don't know. It's kind of tight with the plan B.
Cool. Well, Rashad, do you have anything before we sign off?
I echo everything Diamond just said. Be safe. Be smart. You know, for whatever reason, the campus of UVA, the young ladies, and in particular, it's the young white ladies, like to venture out by themselves late at night, you know, intoxicated. So I would say just accountability, have a buddy system, make sure that the person gets in the right Uber, the right car. You know, text your friend, make sure they make it home safely. And for guys, of course, no means no. You know, silence does not equal consent. So I would say just be safe, be smart, because whatever you do on that weekend, you don't want it to, you know, you don't want to be paying for the consequences your entire life.
Amen. Oh, great answers, great responses, great advice. Thank you all so much. I enjoyed you all. We appreciate you all. You can check us out on Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and so many other apps. Thank you. We're signing off. This is the Mac Attack Show, Homecoming Edition. And I interviewed two uniquely dope people, Diamond and Rashad.
Mm-hmm.